and always appreciate the singing. And good to see children singing and praising God. Amen. Good way to raise them. Amen. And I praise God for that. Appreciate the young folk. It's a blessing to be in the house of God this morning. I praise God for the reality of being able to be here. Aren't you glad Jesus came one day? Amen. Glad he came, died, rose, ascended, coming back. Got it all. Amen. We have a lot to be thankful for and praise God for. I do thank God for the reality of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. I want you to turn your Bibles, book of Daniel, chapter 12. Book of Daniel, chapter number 12. Daniel chapter 12. I want you to look at verse number 1. Stand, please, while we read from the Word of God. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even at that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. I want you to notice in that verse, it talks about a time of trouble, and such as never was since the nation of Israel. And says, at that time, thy people shall be delivered out of every one that shall be found written in the book. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege today to come to the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for the singing of the songs. I praise your name, God, for the choir singing and the children singing. And I praise you for the young folks singing. And thank you, God, that we can meet together in the house of God and worship and just let you have your way here on this last Sunday in 2009. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God. I thank you, Lord, for thy word that we have before us. And I pray in Jesus' name now you'd touch us to preach. May the Holy Ghost have his way. I pray, illuminate our mind, loose our tongue, help us, God, say what we need to say. And I pray you'd use the Word of God to speak to hearts and challenge lives, and we'll thank you. And we'll praise you for all you do. We pray today that you'll rebuke the devil, powers of evil, every hindering cause. I pray that you'll rebuke and help us here today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. As we look at this scripture and thinking about what Daniel's coming to the end of the book of Daniel, we preached some time ago several messages out of the book of Daniel. And here in chapter 12, coming the end of the book, he's talking about the end time, time we've been dealing with throughout the book of Daniel from time to time, dealing with Israel and what's happening in the last days. And here he's talking about tribulation period coming, time of trouble. By the way, you and I are seeing the prelude. We are not in the tribulation. Jesus must come and rapture us out, take us out. But we certainly see it get set up for and the rise of the Antichrist. And that's coming. But I'm glad I'm leaving. Amen. Antichrist is coming, but I'm leaving. Church is leaving. And so here he's talking about at that time, talking to the children of Israel, thy people shall be delivered. Notice this phrase, everyone that shall be found written in the book. I want to preach today on that subject, deliverance for those written in the book. Amen. There is a place where our name's written down. And I'm glad, thank God it is. Amen. Y'all have eaten too much turkey or ham or something. Amen. Aren't you glad your name is written down somewhere? I've never seen my name on the front page of a newspaper. I've never seen it in a magazine. I've never seen it in any time highlighted somewhere that everybody sees and everybody knows. But I have my name somewhere, thank God, that it really counts. Amen. I'm known somewhere. It's written down. Amen. And today, I guess I'd ask you this question. Are you going to be delivered because your name's written down? Is your name written in heaven? That's a good way to put it. Now, I realize some debate on the book of life and the Lamb's book of life and that kind of thing. And we're not going to go into that today. I'm simply talking about deliverance because our names are written down in heaven. And here we find in this scripture, they're talking to the children of Israel. And, of course, the church would be gone anyway. And so here's deliverance from tribulation because our names are written down in the book. Now, the church will be gone. I am a pre-trib man. I believe that Jesus Christ will come before the tribulation comes in fullness. Amen. I believe that we will be gone, and I know there's some debate on that, all of that, but I know for sure Jesus is coming back. I know for sure that as a saved man, a part of the church, that we are not appointed to wrath, but to deliverance. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm going to be delivered because my name's written down in heaven. I will be delivered from the tribulation period. We will be gone. And Enoch pictures that as a type in the Bible. Before the flood ever came, Enoch was taken out by God before the flood came. He walked off with God, and God took him. Boy, he was not for God took him. That's what the Bible said. God took him. That's what's going to happen to church one day. And maybe today, maybe before the end of 2009, the church will be taken out and we'll leave here and be taken to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our blessed hope is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I talked to someone before church today and talking about the condition of the world, things happening. I say our hope is the coming of Jesus. And God just weaned us from this world and letting us know that our hope is going up. And the church is not going down, we're going up. It's not, amen. It's looking brighter for the church every day. It's looking like the up looks looking greater, amen. That's where we're looking to is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and take us out of here. And so, but Noah pictures the Israel that were right out the flood in the ark. Now, Noah didn't get delivered out. He didn't get taken up. He simply wrote it out. And that's a picture of those Israelites that will go through the tribulation and live through that. God will deliver them and take care of them. And here he says, those who are written in heaven. That's why he said, those who shall be found written in the book. And so they're going to be delivered. And I say, praise God. I'm glad for that. They shall be delivered. Now I'm talking about, preacher, do you really believe there's going to be a tribulation period? As sure as I stand in this pulpit, there shall be a day that the Antichrist will come to power and God will pour his wrath out upon this world. There will be a day that men and women will cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on them and hide them from the wrath of the Lamb that sits on the throne. Amen? There will be a day that this world will reel like a drunken man under the judgment of Almighty God. Today the world laughs at, makes fun of, old time salvation and living for God and the Word of God, the things of God, churches and all of that. But there'll be a day they'll find out there's a throne in heaven. There's a God on the throne. And they'll find out that his wrath is full and his cup is full of wrath and be poured out upon this world. And so today, but I'm glad, thank God, there is deliverance for those who are found written in the book. Is your name written in the book? Are you sure your name's written in the book? Do you know that? Amen. Do you really know that today? Thank God we know our name's written in the book. We got a lot to shout about, a lot to rejoice over. Fact is, I'm going to carry this out now, and I want you to stay with me because we're talking about being delivered now by the cause our names are written in the book. That's what he said, that those will be delivered whose names are written in the book. Now, won't you turn with me, please, in the Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10. And here we'll find, because our name's written in the book, it'll keep you from having the wrong kind of rejoicing. Now, I'm going to meddle a little bit right here. Amen. And y'all just hang with me. Wrong kind of rejoicing. Look at verse number 17. And this is chapter 10 of the Gospel of Luke. And the 70 returned again. They'd been sent out by Jesus. They'd been sent out to witness. Had power of God on them. God gave them power. And they went out and came again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now, they're talking about Satan, devil, demons being subject to them. He's saying, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, at that time, he'd sent them out, and he'd given power and watching over them, and they were protected and all of that. Verse number 20, notwithstanding, now get this, notwithstanding. In other words, pay attention now. I've given you power. I've been with you, and I've helped you, and I've protected you. But notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. That'd tear up a whole lot of theology, and some I know that I hear today somewhere, amen, around our country talking about what they do and how I've done this, that, and the other, how much power we've got. And fact is, if you send us some money, we'll help you out, and you'll get better, and you'll have this, and you'll get a car and a house and $1 million and all that kind of stuff. And that's a bunch of baloney. Amen. You're welcome. God didn't promise me any of that. He said he'd supply all my need. He said he'd go with me all the way. Now, he did say all of that, but I want you to know, he said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, I see in this, our names written in heaven. Here we come back to that. Our names are written in heaven. He didn't say rejoice because everybody was happy in church. He didn't say rejoice because everybody patted you on the back in church. He didn't say rejoice because everything went your way at your family. Amen. He didn't say rejoice because everything suited you just right. He didn't say anything about that. He didn't say rejoice because everybody thought like you thought and the singer sang right. He didn't say rejoice about that. He didn't say rejoice because the preacher preached a good message. He didn't say rejoice about that. He didn't say rejoice about people, things happening in their lives and somebody got healed. He didn't say rejoice about that. He said rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And I say hallelujah. All the rest of it is just side stuff, that's all. It's, what's really important is because your name's written in heaven. Did you know that the Apostle Peter, when he denied Christ, now I was talking in my Sunday school class this morning, and we got to dealing with the autonomy of the local church, but I tell them the church is founded on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. In fact is, he's the foundation. He's the head of it. He's in charge of it. He gives us his book to instruct us about it. Amen. Oh, that's true. And we're talking about all of that. And as we talked about that, and we're dealing with that and talking about the church and the power of what God does and how the church does and so forth, it's all vain unless God gets the glory. And God gets the amen. He's in charge of everything. It's his power, not ours. It's him. It's him. It's him. Amen. Rejoice because your name is written in heaven. You can have your name on the church roll and not mean anything unless it's written in heaven. Amen. You can join every church from here to California and die and go to hell. But I praise God, my name's written in heaven. Amen. I believe y'all belong to a local church. I believe y'all be a part of a local church. I believe that's right. That's biblical. That's true. I believe that y'all be a part of a Bible-preaching, Bible-believing church. I believe that too. But that still won't get you to heaven. Your name must be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How do you get there? By getting saved. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, I've been born by the Spirit and the power of God. He said, don't rejoice about all this other stuff. He said, rejoice because your name is written in heaven. You know what? I find myself. Now, here's honest confession. Here to help you. I find myself rejoicing when things are going good at church. When people are praising God. And people are excited, and somebody getting saved, and somebody getting right with God, family's getting help, and that's all well and good. Fact is, it's wonderful to have all of that. But he didn't tell me to rejoice about that. He said, rejoice because your name is written in heaven. When the Apostle Peter, who had made his confession, that's where I was going a while ago, and I got off track there a little bit, but I enjoyed being off track for a minute. But when the Apostle Peter made his confession, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, he meant what he said. He was saved, amen? His name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When Apostle Peter stood out there by the enemy's fire and denied the Lord, Did you know what? His name was still written in heaven. Amen. And when Jesus looked at him, he wept bitterly. He didn't wait till somebody comes. I saw what you did. I heard what you did. I saw, no, no. And when he had to face Jesus, he realized what he did. That's good evidence of salvation. If you can continue living in sin and God doesn't get your attention, it doesn't break your heart and tear you up, I've got my doubts about you being saved. Preacher, you ought not preach like that. That's what the Bible says. Bible says, those I love, I chasten. Amen. I correct those I love. And if your name's written in heaven, and he loves you, he cares about you, and your life cannot be lived in open sin or sin period. Hid sin, open sin, indifferent sin doesn't mean different. And God will get your attention. And if you're not getting your attention, then you're not saved and you're going to hell without God. You say, preacher, you're making a judgment. No, I'm not. I'm simply preaching the word of God to you. I do not believe God in anywhere in his word teaches that a saved person can live in sin and get by with it. It just doesn't happen that way. God gets attention. God whips those children. He even takes them home to heaven. If they want, amen. God said there is a sin unto death. He talking about saved people. Because your name's written in heaven. Y'all rejoice because you're saved. Rejoice because your name's written in heaven. Amen. I don't rejoice because you got a big Christmas present. Because somebody gave you some money. Because somebody, children, young folk got a toy and got something to play with or some electronic game of some kind that I probably couldn't figure out how to turn it on. But anyhow, I don't rejoice about that. Rejoice because your name's written in heaven. You got something to praise God about. Amen. You say, preacher, if you knew all the problems I've got, how bad it is, doesn't make any difference. If you're saved, you have a reason to rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Well, preacher, okay, my name's written in heaven, I'll rejoice about it. Well, I feel like, that's what God said, rejoice. He said, now, the demons are subject to you. Word demon, not in the Bible, but anyway, they're there, they're, if you want to call them little devils or evil spirits or whatever you want to call them. And they're at work everywhere. But I'm glad that Jesus said rejoice because your name's written in heaven. I didn't even talk about what I've done, how much I did, and I did this, and I did that. No, no. I'm just glad God wrote my name down in heaven. I'm just thankful God saved me one day. And I got born in the family of God. Amen. I want to do something for God. I want God to let my life count, but I have nothing to rejoice about except what he did for me, and he did for me at Calvary. Amen. Turn with me in Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter number 13, verse number 8. If your name's written in heaven, he will deliver you from tribulation. He will also deliver you from rejoicing over the wrong things. Amen. Rejoice over the right thing. But look in verse number 8 of Revelation 13. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Talking about the Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb, book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Here's wrong worship. And having your name written down in the book of life delivers you from the wrong worship. Now I realize that we that are saved are going to be raptured out, and so we'll not be here when the Antichrist comes, so we'll not be worshiping him. We know that. But there will be those saved during the tribulation period that will refuse to worship the Antichrist and will not take the mark of the beast and will be killed and some punished. But God will deliver those whose names are written in the book of life. I say hallelujah. I'm glad my name's there. I'm going to be delivered from the wrong. You say, preacher, if I'm left here, I'm not going to worship the Antichrist. Oh, hold up. Park. And let's think just a few minutes. You say, preacher, I will not worship the Antichrist. You don't know what you'll do if you're left here when Jesus comes, because you'll do things you didn't think you'd do. Yeah. Amen. I want you to know he comes in power. In fact, he has turned back. The 2 Thessalonians in chapter number 2, scripture I've read to you several times. I want to read it again. Now, in tribulation period, there'll be those preaching. The fact is, there'll be 144,000 Jews. There'll be preaching and people getting saved, people getting right with God.
people that never heard a clear presentation of the gospel and have not had that opportunity, and they'll pay the price for it, but God will deliver them. I'm glad, thank God, for those whose names are written in the book. But look with me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 9. Even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Do you see that? He said they would not believe the truth. He let them believe a lie, that they all might be damned, because they would not believe the truth. And I believe that God meant what he said. You sit in churches like this and hear preaching. You hear the truth. You know what God said. And you refuse to get saved. You may be a church member and God dealing with you about being saved. And you're saying, well, I don't want to be embarrassed, all that kind of stuff. And you put it off and the rapture come. And you say, I'll get saved then. I'll get right then. Not if you've heard the gospel. Not if you've heard Jesus preached and know he's the only way. And by the way, Jesus is the only way there is to heaven. There is no other. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. You're not going to get to heaven by being good. You're not going to get to heaven by being religious. You're not going to get to heaven by any other religion, something else. You get to heaven by knowing Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and your Savior. If you're not saved, you're not going to heaven. And so people will go to hell and burn in the pit forever and forever because they will not believe the truth. I'm trying to tell you the truth today. That people need to be saved and born in the family of God. I would that people would hear what God says. Revelation 13 again. And verse 13. And he doeth great wonders so that they make a fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had to wound the sword and didn't live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And it causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand or in the foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark of the name of the beast, of the number of his name. Somebody said, preacher, I never take the mark. You don't know what you do if you're left here when the rapture comes. If you're here after Jesus comes and you can't buy nor sell, you'll be lining up to take the mark. People will do things in that day that they say now they'll never do. You don't know. Because when Jesus takes the church out, and the Holy Spirit's not dealing with your life and he's not here helping you, you don't know what you'll do. Then it goes on to talk about that number of man, 666. We'll not get into that, but I'm simply telling you, the wrong worship. But let me plug this in. There's a lot of wrong worship today. Wrong worship going on today, but those who have the names written in the book of life, they know what it's about. They know how to worship because they got to Jesus and he's the only way you can worship. Let me show you something else. I want you to look in Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation chapter 20. I'm so glad my name's in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. My name's in heaven. My name's written down. And cannot be removed. Hallelujah. Look at Revelation 20, verse number 11. Now I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face heaven and earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now this is at the end of all. It's after the millennium, tribulation taking place. Jesus come back, set up a kingdom, rule for 1,000 years, come to the end of that. Satan loosed out of his prison. He put in a pit for 1,000 years after the end of the tribulation period. He's kept there until the end of the millennium. At the end of the millennium, he's loosed. And man again follows Satan and rebels against God. God rains fire down out of heaven, destroys all of it, and then a great white throne. Now, people that are saved have already been judged. at the judgment seat of Christ. That's already passed. We're talking about the unsaved standing there now. I don't know whether we'll be in viewing this or not viewing that, but if we do, it'll not be in the sense that we're in now. It'll be in a different manner. Amen. But look at verse number 11. I saw a great white throne, him that sat on him, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. There's found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the beast and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now here they're being judged according to the works. Well, preacher, doesn't that works have something to do with getting to heaven? Just hang on. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. There you have been judged according to works again. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now back up to verse number 12. And middle of that verse says, another book was opened, which is the book of life. And they were judged out of those things which were written in the books. Books, plural. Book of life, singular. He said they're being judged. And let me just plug this in right here. Our lives will be judged one day. As saved people, as servants of God, we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of our Christian life. Amen. It's not to see if we get to heaven or not. We won't even be there if we're not going to heaven. And Jesus said in Revelation there when he said, behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. He's coming back with his reward with him. We're going to be judged to receive rewards or else lose rewards, one or the other. And we will, at that time, receive reward. If we get anything to lay at the feet of Jesus, we'll get it at the judgment seat of Christ. And so, but works, it'll be judged according to works, but has nothing to do with salvation. Has nothing to do with going to heaven. Nothing. And then here at the great white throne judgment, they're judged according to their works. Has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with them going to hell. They go to hell, they go to the lake of fire. Look at verse number 15 again. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. He did not say if their works were not good enough or enough that they'd be cast in the lake of fire. He said because their name was not written in the book of life, they'd be cast in the lake of fire. Amen? That's all that determines that. Now, the Bible does talk about be beaten with few stripes or many stripes, and it doesn't tell us much about that degree of punishment. And I believe the Bible indicates, has some hint toward that. In hell, they'd be in the lake of fire, something different, but we couldn't understand if he told us about it. Our minds couldn't conceive of it. Hell's an awful place, and hell be cast in the lake of fire and burn forever and forever. That's what I said about the Antichrist and about the devil. Look in verse number 11 of this chapter. Chapter 20 now, Revelation. I saw a great, well, back up to verse 10. And the devil that deceiveth them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophet are. And that's the Antichrist and his false prophet. And that's 1,000 years before this happens. And for they are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Preacher, do you really believe that there's a hell forever and forever? I believe the lake of fire burns forever and ever. And those whose names are not written in the book of life go to that place and will burn forever and forever. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. And they're going to burn there. I'm glad I'm going to be delivered from the lake of fire because my name's written in heaven. Let me show you one thing and I close. Look in Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. Talk about all the wickedness around us. I'm glad I'm going to be delivered from all of that. Look at verse 27, Revelation 21. And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Said there's not going to be a lie, be no abomination, be no sin, nothing that defiles, but they. We're going to be there. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Hallelujah. Praise God for the deliverance by my name in the Lamb's book of life. How did he get that, preacher? By repenting and trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Jesus is more than a just a figment of the imagination. He's more than just somebody you call on when you get sick. He's more than just somebody you cry out to when you need some money. He's more than that. He's the Lord of glory. He's the Savior come down to earth to die on Calvary's cross and pay our price and take our place, raised from the dead, send it back to be our mediator between God and man. Is your name written in heaven? Do you know that? You sure that your name is written down in heaven? You say, preacher, I don't know that for sure. I'd let the Holy Spirit of God speak to my heart. I'd open my mind and heart to God and say, God, I need some help. I need some help. I need to know that my name is written down in heaven. By your name being written down in heaven, you can know. You can know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Thank God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. All over the house, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, right now I pray the Holy Spirit, God, speak to that heart. That individual, God, that you're dealing with right now, I pray they're not quenching or grieve you nor refuse you. But help them to yield their life in such a manner they'll realize, God, I pray the Holy Spirit make it real to them. Their name not written in the book of life. They'll be cast in the lake of fire. Never be in that holy city. Never be in that place where there be no sin. Lord, I pray today for the Holy Spirit to work in hearts. Our names being written down. Thank you, Lord, for the reality that they are. Then there may be somebody here today, Lord, that their name's written down in heaven, but they don't know the joy. They've let something come in their life that they know's wrong, and they're not dealt with it. Not let you help them to get out of that. So I pray in Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit continue to work and help them to see their need. Father, our lives influence somebody. Help us, God, come to the close of this year. Help us see ourselves. Lord, thank you and be thankful our names are written in heaven. Thank you. I pray in this invitation you rebuke the devil. I plead the blood and leave it in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.